The following is a sermon from the Vicar at Sure Foundation, a church located in Woodside, Queens, New York, the world's most diverse community. For more information and for more audio content, go to sure-foundation.org.
Today, our gospel comes from Luke chapter 10. We're looking at verses 21 through 24. Please stand out of respect for the words and works of Jesus. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. 2 weeks ago, in the first installment of this sermon series of Luke 10, we talked about a big story. The disciples went out into all the world to carry out this mission. They went out with the gospel, and they did great, powerful signs. They blessed people. They told people what Jesus had done for them, that their names were written in heaven. They cast out demons, and they blessed and they healed wherever they went. It was a great, big mission. It was a great, big story. But today, as you heard in our gospel reading, Jesus brings his disciples in for a huddle. He brings his disciples in for a huddle, and Luke records many interesting details that just make this a very intimate story. And we'll be looking at them. But one of them that's a real diamond in the rough is that in the Gospels, there are so many times where we hear about all sorts of Jesus' emotions. We hear that he was angry. He overturned tables. We know that he was hungry, that he had compassion on people. All of these things come up a little more often, but here's a diamond in the rough. It says Jesus rejoiced. Jesus had joy through the Holy Spirit. And this is actually the only time in all of the Gospels that we directly hear that Jesus rejoices. And in his joy, he brings in his disciples. He brings in you. And he tells you about our priorities for our knowledge and our faith. He tells us about where God is hidden and where God is revealed. As we were going through the reading, there may have been something that made your heads turn a little bit. When Jesus says that the things are hidden from the wise, is Jesus happy that people don't know about him? Doesn't Jesus want the gospel to be shared with all people? 1 Timothy 2 verse 4 says that God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. So what's going on here? Notice how in this passage, Jesus doesn't say anything else about the wise or the learned. This is who they are. These are people who are defined by their wisdom and their earthly knowledge. These people are defined by their pursuit of worldly excellence and knowledge and understanding of things here on earth. That's how they're defined, the people to whom he's referring in this passage. And to people like that, to people who seek, first of all, as their priority, earthly wisdom, earthly knowledge, and learning, the truths of the kingdom of God are hidden. But then he says, to children, the truths of the kingdom of God are revealed. And children in the Bible are very often used as a description of believers. Children are humble. Children take the name of their parents and they don't seek their own name. Children depend on others to take care of them, and children trust. And Jesus says here that to children, the truths of the kingdom of God are revealed. To children. We believe that our God is a hidden God. Isaiah 45:15 says, "Truly you are a God who hides himself." We believe and we teach that. We could not stand. We could not stand in the presence of God and live. We cannot see the full glory of God revealed to us. And we see that like in stories of Moses when he says that he could not show him his full glory. In the apologetics Bible study that we've been going through, we've been looking at different masks of God. And in these masks of God, we see different glimpses. We get tiny glimpses of God where he reveals himself in tiny ways. We looked at creation, right? The magnificent, very well-organized creation. We saw how God has purpose. We see the purpose and the overarching story of the universe. We've seen glimpses of God in our consciences and also in the Word of God. But in all of these masks, the only place where Jesus Christ is shown is in the Word of God. And in the Word of God and in the person of Jesus Christ, we see the greatest glimpses of God in all of the masks. And we learn more about God than from any of the other masks. In the person of Jesus Christ, what is said in Isaiah stays true. God is a hidden God because we can't understand or see everything on this side of heaven. We can't know everything about God or see everything about God. But in the person of Jesus Christ, more is revealed than anywhere else. We see the greatest glimpses of God, and we learn more about God in the person of Jesus Christ than anywhere else. In the person of Jesus Christ, our hidden God is a revealed God. And he's revealed to you and to me. And so what Jesus makes very clear here, is that if we seek God not in his word, if we seek God where he is not to be found, God stays hidden. God remains as a hidden God. If we seek ultimate peace and fulfillment and joy through our careers and our jobs, then we are trusting in our own wisdom. We are trusting in our own wisdom and not in God's, and God remains hidden. If we seek for our own wisdom and our own earthly understanding and knowledge and all sorts of things about this world as our foremost priority, you'll know lots of things and you'll have success in lots of things, but God remains hidden. If you seek to gain control over your life through good habits, eating, exercise, all of these things, good things, you'll reap the benefits. You'll have mental and physical clarity. It will be good, but it'll leave you wanting more. You see, if we try to take our own lives and put them on our backs, if we try to seek wisdom and understanding for ourselves as our foremost priority, God remains hidden. God remains hidden to the wise and the learned, the people who he's referring to in this passage, because they're seeking God in all of the wrong places and with all the wrong motivations. But God is revealed to children. Imagine with me for a second, there's a group of kids, and maybe this betrays a little bit my line of thinking, but there's a group of kids who are looking up at a bunch of skyscrapers, a group of buildings in Manhattan. And they're saying, wow, you know, look at how beautiful those buildings are. Look at how tall they are. How in the world could anyone build things like that? I want to live there. But a couple feet away, there's a group of wise and learned adults who are looking at the same group of buildings and are saying, what a waste of space. These materials, it could have been constructed better. It kind of ruins the Manhattan skyline. And they come at it with all of their own knowledge and understanding, even though the people who constructed and built these buildings are smarter and more equipped than them. When people come at things, when people come at the Word of God in a much greater way, as wise and learned adults, God remains hidden. But when people approach God's word, when people approach God as children, trusting that what God says is reliable and true, God is revealed. God's joy and God's hope is given to us. He's revealed to us. And as you seek God, as you look for God where he is to be revealed in his word, as you pray to him, he reveals his wisdom to you. He gives you wisdom, and he reveals his answers to your prayers as your life unfolds. And you get to see that. We can't possibly see the glory of God Almighty this side of heaven. That's not something that's going to happen. One day, God will be fully revealed, but not now. But you know what? The wisdom of God was revealed in Jesus Christ. As he taught the parables and the wise sayings that the wise don't find wisdom in, but that we see wisdom for our lives now and forever. Jesus Christ revealed the love of God as he died on the cross for sinners who didn't even love him back or didn't even love him first. The power of God was revealed as he did miracles for those around him. Jesus Christ revealed all those things about God. And we see that in him. And so we don't approach as adults thinking that we have the wisdom or we have the knowledge. We approach as children, trusting that God's knowledge and God's love and God's power is greater than all things. And that's all the wisdom and learning that we need is Jesus. God has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. So Jesus makes this point very clear that where God is hidden and revealed, there are places where God is not revealed, and there are places where he is, Jesus Christ. And at this point in the story, then, he moves on to a second point. If you'll notice in the story, Luke adds a very interesting detail here. He says that Jesus took his disciples aside and spoke to them in private. And so what he says next is meant for believers, but it's also to be read and understood by those who don't yet believe. Because what Jesus says next is incredible, absolutely incredible. Jesus says that the disciples who were right there, right in front of him, were more blessed than even prophets and kings, more blessed than royalty of the past. And here's why. Because they got to see Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the flesh. They got to see not just the promise of the Savior, but the fulfillment of the Savior. And so Jesus says that they were blessed. More blessed than even David, who sought the Lord, who was a man after God's own heart. They were more blessed than Solomon, who had all the wealth and all the wisdom. They were more blessed than Josiah, who restored the Old Testament scriptures. They were more blessed than prophets like Isaiah and Daniel who foretold the future. More blessed than prophets like Jeremiah and Ezekiel who suffered for the name of the Lord. More blessed than even Elijah who went straight up to heaven. These men were blessed. More than even the legendary kings and prophets of the past because they got to see Jesus Christ in the flesh right in front of them. That was the blessing that they got to have. What Jesus is talking about here, we have a term for it, and it's called progressive revelation. Maybe you've heard it before. And what we're talking about here is when we look at the Old Testament, we can see that the Old Testament believers knew a lot of things. They really did. They knew that Jesus was going to come. They knew that God was going to send a Savior who would save them from their sin, from Genesis 3. They knew that God was good and gracious. They knew that one day they would be living with God eternally in a life after this one. We know that they knew all of these things. But as time went on, as the Old Testament period went on, they knew more and more, progressive revelation. Moses knew more than Abraham. David knew more than Moses. And by the end of the Old Testament period, they had so much more prophecy and they knew so much more than people at the beginning of time. Progressive revelation. But at the time that Jesus came, when Jesus came, he revealed so much more about himself than he ever had before. And so now the disciples were looking at the fulfillment of the prophecy that Isaiah had made so many years before. Same faith. It was the same faith. They both trusted that God would send a Savior for our sin. But the Old Testament Christians looked forward, and they didn't have the privilege of seeing the fulfillment, whereas the disciples did. And in much the same way, you and I have privilege and the advantage over Old Testament Christians of not only having seen the promise, but having seen the fulfillment. We have seen Jesus Christ come to earth, the joy and the glory of God, come to earth and go to the cross and pay for our sins. We have seen that glory. As I was thinking about this, this kind of came to mind. It's kind of like receiving a text message. You know, when you're texting with someone and they're starting to respond and you can see those three little dots kind of pop up and they do a little dance, something like this. And you know that a message is coming. A message is coming. And if you're talking with someone reliable, someone who you know, someone who you trust, you know that that message is going to be reliable. In a much greater way, the Old Testament Christians, they just had the three dots. They knew from all the past history with God that it was going to be something reliable, that God would come through on his promises, but they couldn't see the full thing. They just had those three dots. Friends, you and I have the full message. We have seen not just the promise, we have seen not just the promise that Jesus was going to come, but we have seen Jesus come in the flesh. The promised Messiah from all the ages. We have seen not just the promise, Isaiah, but the fulfillment. Jesus has come. And what a blessing that is. That's what Jesus is trying to get across here. What a blessing and a privilege we have. I got a question for you. Do we always feel blessed? Do we always feel as blessed as kings and prophets in the past to have these scriptures written down for us? Do we always feel the same joy that Jesus had, that even when he just thought of this fact, he burst out in joy and started talking to his disciples? Do we have that joy and that feeling of blessing about this? And if we're honest with ourselves, probably not all the time. We probably don't always feel as privileged as prophets and kings. We probably don't always feel that joy about Jesus. And at times it might even become a little bit mundane and commonplace for us. But Jesus promises. Jesus promises that we have this revelation. And not only has he considered you children of God through faith and knowledge of Jesus Christ, but in his grand plan of salvation, he has allowed you to see Jesus with clearer lens than any kings and prophets of the past. And again, on this side of heaven, we won't see the full glory of God, but he has revealed himself to us in time through his Son, Jesus Christ. And we have that revelation written down for us in the Bible. What a blessing that is. And so as we come to the Word of God, as we come to God, let's approach as children, trusting and knowing that what God says is good. And friends, we can rejoice. We can rejoice that we have this written down for us, this revelation of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that we need to know, no other wisdom or learning. God is revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen.